So the last of our three eminent speakers today is Ajahn Jayasaro, who has been a bhikkhu for 37 pansa. He's one less than myself. We both arrived in Thailand around about the same time, and just as Lumpo Cha's teaching career was, his words were coming to an end. His health, decayed in the during the rains retreat of 1981, and so the two of us were very fortunate to be able to spend time with Lumpo Cha in the last years that he was still speaking and able to express Dhamma in words. And he has been living in Thailand ever since, so he has very fully and completely mastered the Thai language and is a very highly regarded Dhamma teacher, much loved and much respected in Thailand. And it's a rare opportunity to have him here in England and to be able to share some Dhamma teachings with you all. He's here mostly to visit his mother, who is 84 years old. Yeah, and so he will be leaving right after this Dhamma talk to go and be spending time with her, but hopefully we'll see him another time while he's still in the country. And next Saturday he should be here if everything goes according to plan. So I'm very delighted to be able to welcome him here, and he'll probably be embarrassed for me to say so, but I was extremely touched to hear through the grapevine that all of the donations that are being offered for his bi-weekly, fortnightly Dhamma talks during this rains retreat. He's been, encouraging all those funds to be sent to Amravati to support this katina. And so these are it's a very kind and unexpected generous act that's much appreciated, and a very thoughtful assistance from a good Dhamma friend that I've been sharing this life with for nearly 40 years. So without further ado, Nimon Ajahn.
So I'd like to begin by expressing my appreciation to all the inhabitants of the South American country of Colombia who picked the coffee beans that enabled me to be alert enough this afternoon to be able to give this Dhamma talk, as I've been traveling more or less non-stop for the past few days. And I gave the final Dhamma talk at the Wat Banana Chat Katina yesterday. I think it was yesterday, at 4 a.m. This the 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. slot at the end of the whole night of Dhamma talks. And prior to that, I just flew back from Tibet. So I've been traveling for a few days now, so not quite sure where I am. And coming back to England, of course, every year or 2 years, a lot of memories pop up into my mind. And one that surfaced this morning was of quite an important event in my life, although I wasn't sure, I wasn't aware of it at the time. I was at school, and I wrote an essay, and my teacher wrote a comment on the paper saying, just because you can ask a question doesn't necessarily mean that it has an answer. And that was, for me, a very profound, comment. And it was sort of assumed that every question has an answer. And so it led me onto the path of, investigating what questions do have answers, or what questions are worth answering, and observing that many of the questions that we ask are pointless and trivial and don't really lead anywhere, and finding a life which is based upon meaningful questions. So I'd like to tell you a story. Of course, today we've been referring and sharing merit with one of the great kings of the modern era, or perhaps the greatest king. But of course, there have been many different kinds of kings and standards of kings over the centuries. This particular king was extremely handsome, and he knew it. He's very vain. And one flattering sycophant said to this king, you're so handsome, you could be a devata, you could be a deity. And he really liked this, and he'd very, very, very pleased with this comparison. One day, these two deities, they heard about this, and they thought, we'll go down and see whether he is really as handsome as all that. So they got an audience with the king, and they said, we are deities, and we just came to see whether you really are as handsome as a deity. And the king said, well, what do you think? And they said, well, yeah, you're quite handsome, but not quite as handsome as you were this morning. And the king, what do you mean? He said, well, we came here first thing in the morning before you woke up, and compared with this morning, you're not quite so handsome as you were. And so the king couldn't really understand this, and I said, how can that possibly be? So the deity said, ask that servant over there to bring a vessel of water over here, place it on the table. So the servant does what he's told, and then asked the servant to go out the room. And then as soon as the servant left the room, one of the deities put this beautiful golden spoon out of his robe, and he just took out a spoonful of water. And then he called the servant back in, and he said, can you see any difference in this bowl of water? And the servant was looking at it. No, exactly the same. And he said, see, the deity said, that's how things change. So little by little, that you don't notice. And your handsome face and features and health are steadily declining, but at such a rate that you are unable to see it. And as a result, the king had an insight, and he turned to asking questions about life, which had meaning rather than how can I sustain this beauty, or how can I increase my wealth and influence and so on, to what is this really all about? Sorry, I have to look at the clock. I'm one of these Thai Dhamma teachers who usually just talks and talks and talks and never really notices the time. So how long have I had? I'm in 5-6 minutes. Okay. And I got to switch halfway to another language as well. So the question, what is the question? One of the most stupid questions I think I grew up with is, what is the meaning of life? That's one of those questions that sounds so profound and it's utterly stupid. It doesn't have an answer. And I think the question which should supplant it, and which is a meaningful question, is what gives meaning to life? Not what is the meaning of life, because you have to have something other than life to compare it to, but what gives meaning to life? What is meaning? What does meaning mean? And a very simple answer, the one that Lumpur Kampong gave just now, is abandoning all that is unwholesome, developing the wholesome, and purifying the mind. So how do we do that? That's a good question. How do we do it? And in Buddhism, we take action as an effort, action as our standard, rather than belief. It doesn't really matter what you believe, it's what you do. What you do, how you express yourself as a human being through your actions, your speech, and your mind. And one of the advantages of only coming to visit a monastery very rarely is you can say some unpopular things. So I'm going to say something I think is unpopular. People often worry, how do I know if my meditation is really developing? What kind of signs can you say that is an indication that I'm basically doing the right thing, I'm on the right direction, and so on? And people often looking at meditation experience and a growing sense of inner peace and so on. But when we look at meditation practice, for most people, rather than a stairway to heaven, it's a game of snakes and ladders, and usually the snakes are longer than the ladders. I don't think that's really a good way to look at it. What I would suggest, and two things I would say. Firstly, before you start meditating and practicing, it's very easy to suffer, and it's quite difficult to be happy. And your happiness is very fragile and is very easily turns into suffering. If you're practicing in the right way, the things that make you suffer diminish and the things that make you happy increase. That's one standard. Second standard, and this is the important one, is the growth of hiri-otapa. And an intelligent, wise shame or shrinking away from unwholesome actions and fear, intelligent, wise fear of consequences. And thus, the fail-safe or really reliable indicator of how far you're progressing in your Dhamma practice is your keeping of the precepts. If you find yourself unable to keep five precepts, then that means you don't really understand the Dhamma teaching. You haven't penetrated the meaning of practice, and you haven't really received the fruits of practice. Keeping the five precepts and being really motivated to keep the five precepts is a very clear and reliable indication of spiritual maturity. The teaching of Sila, Samadhi, Panya is that these three things are inseparable. This is a holistic, organic teaching, and that Sila requires training of the heart and training in wisdom. To support it, the training of the heart needs the training in Sila and training in Panya to support it, and the training in Panya requires the training in Sila and the training in Samadhi to support it. So if you're developing the training of the heart and the training of the wisdom, there's no way that you would drink even one single glass or one sip of a glass of alcohol. Mm. So that's my unpopular teaching that I'm going to end my English discourse. Okay, great. That's all right. That's the end of the English talk, and I'll leave you with that unpopular point to remember me by till next time I come. And so now to Thailand. Thai language. วันนี้พวกเราก็ได้มีโอกาสมาทำบุญกันได้อุทิศส่วนกุศลให้แด่สมเด็จพระบาทพระเจ้าอยู่หัวเป็นโอกาสที่ดีเยี่ยมที่เราจะได้ระลึกถึงองค์ท่านด้วยการทำความดีความผลัดพรากเป็นเรื่องธรรมดาแต่คำว่าธรรมดามันก็เป็นคำที่ค่อนข้างจะลึกซึ้งเพราะการเข้าใจคำว่าธรรมดาต้องเกิดจากการประพฤติปฏิบัติธรรม ที่นี้เราแต่ละคนเป็นภาชนะของคุณธรรมบางคนก็เป็นภาชนะของคุณธรรมมากบางคนก็ภาชนะคุณธรรมน้อยแต่ในกรณีของพระบาท พระสมเด็จพระเจ้าอยู่หัวนั้นท่านเป็นภาชนะของคุณธรรมมากมายกายกองแม้เป็นที่รู้จักกันไม่ต้องพรรณนากันเลยแต่นี่ในการที่เราแสดงออกถึงความซาบซึ้งในคุณธรรมของท่านนั้นวิธีที่ดีที่สุดคือการที่เรากำหนดคุณธรรมที่เคยปรากฏอย่างงดงามในภาชนะคือชีวิตของท่านรักษามันไว้อย่าให้มันหายไปจากประเทศชาติของเราความเสียสละความเมตตาคุณธรรมต่างๆแต่ละข้อที่เรารู้สึกซาบซึ้งจนกระทั่งว่านึกถึงระลึกถึงเมื่อไหร่น้ำตาจะไหลสิ่งเหล่านั้นเป็นของสากลเป็นสิ่งที่ท่านได้กระทำ
ท่านได้แสดงให้เราเห็นว่างดงามขนาดไหนแต่ท่านพลัดพรากจากเราไปแล้วท่านก็ไม่ได้เอาไปด้วยสิ่งเหล่านั้นยังมีอยู่เหมือนเดิมเหมือนพระพุทธเจ้าท่านปรินิพพานไปแล้วศีลสมาธิปัญญาคำสั่งสอนพุทธองค์ทุกสิ่งทุกอย่างมีเหมือนเดิมเพียงแต่ว่าเราจะทำตามหรือไม่ทำตามก็เท่านั้นเองแม้แต่ในชีวิตของพระสมเด็จพระเจ้าอยู่หัวก็เช่นเดียวกันเราเห็นสิ่งใดสิ่งหนึ่งในชีวิตของท่านที่เรารู้สึกว่าซาบซึ้งเป็นพิเศษรักษาเอาไว้อันนี้ก็คือการบูชาคุณของท่านเรียกว่าปฏิบัติบูชาปฏิบัติบูชาทำให้สิ่งที่ท่านทำให้ดำรงอยู่ในตระกูลของเราดำรงอยู่ในประเทศชาติของเราต่อไปอย่าให้มันหายอันนี้ก็เป็นสิ่งที่เป็นการแสดงออกถึงความจริงใจต่อความศรัทธาต่อความรักต่อความเคารพที่ดีที่สุดวันนี้อาตมาก็เห็นญาติโยมคนไทยมามากมายก็วันนี้เราก็ได้บุญตั้งแต่เช้าเลยได้บุญด้วยทานด้วยศีลด้วยภาวนาเราก็อุทิศให้ท่านแต่การอุทิศส่วนกุศลนั้นไม่ควรจะจบไว้แค่นี้ในการกระทำในวันนี้การทำคุณงามความดีในวันนี้แต่อยู่ที่การทำความดีจนกระทั่งความดีเป็นส่วนหนึ่งของเราเป็นสิ่งที่อยู่ในภาชนะคือชีวิตของเราเป็นกำลังใจแก่ลูกแก่หลานของเราต่อไปและวันนี้อาตมาก็ขอแสดงธรรมเพียงแค่นี้เอวัง